Hello, this is Eddie Duke. Welcome to the weekly podcast at Panther Creek Baptist Church. You know, Jesus Christ is an amazing person. As I look at our culture today, I'm convinced the absolute only hope for this world in which we live is Jesus Christ. And every week, I will introduce you to messages that will communicate this hope that we have in Christ. I'm thankful that you've taken the time to catch us here this week. It means a lot to me that you would tune in, and I would love to hear from you. And now, here is this week's broadcast. I'm guessing if I were to ask here today, and nobody respond, please, but I'm guessing if I were to ask here today, if you thought that our country is getting worse, generally speaking, not one area, if you thought that our country was getting worse, if you thought the world was getting worse, if maybe in your personal life, I just don't see it any better. I'm guessing if I asked that question today, that if you thought things were getting worse, most of us would say, yes, we believe that things are getting worse. We believe things are getting worse in our world. We think things are getting worse in our life. And that goes along with a survey that was just done by U.S. News earlier this year. In May of this year, U.S. News did a survey of 21,000 people in 36 different countries. They went to every region of the world, and they asked them that question, do you believe things in the world are getting worse? And 60% of the world said, yes, absolutely, we think that things are getting worse. And it's every generation, we have our times when we believe things are getting worse. At the beginning of the 20th century, people felt like that things were getting better, that there was a coming utopia and everything was going to be great. And then World War I came, which was the war to end all wars, and then that was followed not too long after that by World War II, and then several wars after that. So by the end of the 20th century, people again felt like in the United States that things weren't going to be well, that things weren't good. And then the 21st century came in. After we got through the 2000 scare, we believed again that things were going to be a little better. And then September 11, 2001 happened, and since then we've seen terrorist events, and we've seen all kinds of things going on in the world. And again, we're right back where we started, that maybe we don't believe that things are going to be any good. And so we have this belief that things are good. Well, Jesus talked about this. Jesus addressed this, and he addressed this in this passage right here. He said, you know, there's going to be a time when you just feel like weeds are everywhere. The weeds are all around. There's just all kinds of troubles. What do we need to do, and how do we need to respond when it seems like the world's just going to the dogs? Vance Havner said, you know, don't say stuff like that because let's give more respect to the dogs. And so, you know, maybe we should just say that. But what do we need to do? How do we need to respond? How do we need to live? Well, the first thing that Jesus says here in this parable is this. We need to make sure in times like these, whether things are good or bad, it really doesn't matter. We need to make sure in times like these that we remember who we are. We need to remember who we are. I mean, we see all kinds of things on the news, all kinds of articles about how the way the world is, and sometimes it just makes us heartsick to read some of these things, and we want to respond. A few weeks ago, we talked about gossip and how, man, we love gossip. It's just so juicy. We want to talk about that. We want to solve everybody's problems. Hugh Freeze is a football coach, or was a football coach, with University of Mississippi. Paul Strahan, who's the first Baptist pastor at First Baptist Church in town. He and I were talking about Hugh Freeze. He's a big University of Mississippi football fan. And we were talking about Hugh Freeze. Hugh Freeze was a Christian. He was the football coach. And now he finds himself in just a complete scandal. And it seems to get worse by the day. And boy, we love to talk about that. We love to try to correct Hugh Freeze's problems. But like I tell Lisa all the time when we talk about this, you know what? I've got my hands full enough with my own life that I really can't be too concerned. I would love to sit and judge everybody. I would love to do that. But it's enough for me really to concentrate on what God wants to do in my life. It really is. And that's exactly what we need to be doing. We need to be concentrating on what God wants to do in our life so that we'll make sure that we're one of the wheat and not one of the weeds. Billy Graham used to make this comment. Billy Graham used to say, he used to say that, you know what, most of any given church is probably lost. Most. I mean, he was talking about 75, 80% of any church, any people sent in church, they're probably not going to heaven. Now, how in the world could he make that statement? Because when Billy Graham would have his crusades in the United States, you know, most of the people that responded and surrendered their life to Jesus Christ, most of the people who responded indicated that they were already members of a certain church. 70%, as a matter of fact, that people that responded to Billy Graham's crusades said they were members of a certain church. I love the way this passage begins, don't you? This passage begins like this. Jesus says here, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field." The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. I don't know about you, but that's the man I want to be. That's the person I want to be. He's not concerned about everything that's going on around him. He's not concerned about the weeds. He's concerned about making sure he sows good seed in his life. I want to be that person. In everything that we've got going on, we need to make sure who we are. I can tell you something else we need to make sure of. We need to make sure of whose we are. We are a child of the King. We are not weed eaters. We are called not to weed eats. We're not called to do that. We're called to be faithful in being a child of God and what God has called us to do. That's what we're called. Now, that doesn't mean we turn a blind eye to evil. That doesn't mean we ignore the evil that we see around the world. But what it does mean is that we're patient and being faithful to God calling us to be salt and light of the world. We're to deal with the corruption that's in the world by being agents to heal that corruption, just like salt is. We're here and called to be a light into the world of moral darkness. That's what we're called to do. We're not called to mow it all down. We're not called to start it all over. We're called to be children of God and to follow Him by being salt and light. Here's one thing about God's judgment. God's judgment may be slow, but it's never late. And you and I have to be patient. We have to remember whose we are. When I think of patience, I think of a man. I love his name because his name really it really describes his problem. There was a man in 1895 by the name of Pearl Waite. I just love that, Pearl Waite. In 1895, he and his wife got together. He was an inventor. He liked to tinker with things. He and his wife got together, and Pearl Waite made some Jell-O. This is actually where Jell-O came from. He got things together, and he saw this little food that you could eat and you could have fun with. It would jiggle, you know. It was fun to eat, fun to have a good time with. And his wife actually named it Jell-O. And he thought, man, this is going to be a hit. Well, after 2 years, that Jell-O was going nowhere. He couldn't sell it to anybody. You know, I mean, nobody wanted to buy it. The sales were very slow. He had been talking to his neighbor. His neighbor's name was Frank Woodward. Frank was also an inventor. He also tinkered with things. And Frank finally said one day, he said, "Why don't you let me buy that and take it off your hands for $450? So for $450, he took the whole idea of Jell-O and that whole concept off his hands. And for a couple years, he couldn't get it to go anywhere either. He thought about selling it for $35. He's going to take a huge loss. He was going to sell the whole thing for $35, but he decided to hang on to it. And in 1905, Jell-O sales exceeded $1 million. $1 million. Shortly after that, he sold it to General Foods. And today, the interesting thing is, not one of Pearl Waite's descendants cash in any royalties from his invention. Why? Because he wasn't patient with what he had. And God calls us to remember whose we are and be patient with what God's calling us to do. There's one final thing that we need to remember in all the things that are going on around us. Is the world getting worse? Well, the answer to that is yes and no. Yes, it is. And if you're a weed here today, I can guarantee you the world's going to get worse and worse and worse. But if you're a wheat here today, things are going to only get better. And I tell you why that is, because we need to remember the last thing. We need to remember that there's victory in Jesus Christ. There is victory in Jesus Christ. And we can't forget there is a harvest coming. Stay focused on the harvest. This past week, I was studying a passage that I'd read before, but I want to preach on this passage so bad now, because this passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 is so rich. It is just filled with so many sermons there. Man, I could just preach on that for 6 months, I think. It's just so much there. But I was reading 2 Chronicles chapter 20. If you know the story of 2 Chronicles, and I'll close with this, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 is the story of King Jehoshaphat, and he's a good king. And he wants to do the right thing, and he wants to seek the Lord. But in the very beginning of the chapter, here's what happens. An army, a huge army, comes to the land of Judah. And they are threatening the land of Judah. They are camped right in the En-Gedi. His advisors come to him and said, man, we've got this huge wall of army that's facing us. They are going to completely wipe us out. And the Bible, I love this, because the Bible says this. Jehoshaphat didn't pump his chest. He didn't flex his muscles. Jehoshaphat, the Bible says, was afraid. He was scared to death. So Jehoshaphat went before the Lord. He stood before the Lord over and over again. It says he stood before the Lord, and then he prayed. And in verse 12, you know what he prayed? He didn't pray this. He didn't pray, hey, everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be fine. In verse 12, he said this. We don't know what we're supposed to do. Man, I've said that phrase, I can't tell you how many times. I saw a movie once, U571, Matthew McConaughey starred in it. If you saw that movie, you remember years ago, Matthew McConaughey was a captain of a U-boat, of a submarine. He hadn't expected it, but he was thrust in this position. So he was captain of this U-boat, and this German U-boat, and the men were coming before him. They were telling him what they should do. They were asking him questions. He said, looked at him, and he said, guys, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I've never done this before. And the chief called him aside later, and he said, don't you ever do that. As captain, you always know what to do. Even when you don't, you never say, I don't know what to do. And maybe as a pastor, I shouldn't say this, but King Jehoshaphat said it long before I did. In chapter 20, verse 12 of 2 Chronicles, King Jehoshaphat said this, I don't know what to do. In just a few moments, Mark's going to come, Mark Record, our treasurer, is going to come and share with you something I've known for months. And I'm saying the same thing that I did when I first saw it. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I admit that. But then Jehoshaphat says something else. The verse 12 ends with this, but we are going to look to you. Why? Because there's victory in Jesus Christ. We don't know what to do, but we're going to look to you. Hey, this is Eddie Duke, pastor at Panther Creek Baptist Church. I hope this message was a blessing for you today. I want to let you know that we here at Panther Creek are a small church that are looking to make a big impact on our neighbors in our community with the love of Christ. If you're looking for a church home with which to serve and connect with, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for church. We'd also love to have you join us on Sunday evenings at 6:30, but if you can't join us, we hope you'll tune in every week and listen to us. Have a fantastic day.